everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge World, the World's Two Wrap Up Podcast for the finale. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lashier. Allie, how are you?
I feel like that song should be playing that's like, how did you get here? Nobody's supposed to be here. Like, I'm not supposed to be here, Brian.
No, there's like an alternate reality where the other podcast drops. This doesn't happen. And we have a very much different time. But here we are. This is it.
I'm like Pauly Kara Ninja. I'm not supposed to be at this final.
This has been not just like the season of the show, but for our season, this has been more one of the more wilder rides for two podcast hosts that you could probably ever really have, between how many times we've been out, different partners, different time schedules, different iterations. And one more iteration, here we go.
Yeah. So people told me I wouldn't be able to keep the podcast up when I started working, and people might be right. But we've done great. Brian, I have to thank you, even at the top of the show, for being so flexible with my schedule and recording into the wee hours of the night. And of course, our many slew of substitutes for both of us who have come in and the listeners who have tolerated our insanity. Should we explain what happened, or should we just say, like, forget it, it's a Sunday and you're getting the podcast on a Sunday?
The one thing we can explain is that in every type of iteration, this is like the newest one. I don't think we've ever had, sometimes we've had to redo podcasts, but I don't think we've ever had to have where one person is redoing it and the other person is coming in fresh. So let's have the people guess who's coming in fresh and who's redoing it, and we'll go from there.
Brian, remember when I told everyone I wasn't supposed to be here? I feel like that gives it away.
Maybe they were on 5 speed and they missed that part, and they were skipping over the ads, which you shouldn't do. Always listen to the ads. And then they just, so now they're listening now, so they don't know.
Oh, like, just happened on the podcast that you definitely didn't listen to on Renap with Matt Liguori. The funniest, absolute funniest moment in RHAP history happens at 29, like 40. I tweeted about it, of the Matt Liguori's Renap appearance this past week for Jersey Shore. Everyone needs to listen to it. That's all I'll say. A little teaser there.
I'll put that on the tickler file.
But no, but we have to thank, so Jonathan Foreman, I called out like 2 hours before we were supposed to record, and Jonathan Foreman subbed in, and then I get a call. I'm sitting at my desk. It's like 11 p.m. and I get a call from Jonathan Foreman. Now, people don't care about this, but honestly, you don't care about the finale because it was terrible, so we could talk about this. Jonathan Foreman calls me and I'm like, oh, this can't be good, because I told him the only Jonathan Foreman communicates with me inexplicably by Facebook chat. I don't know why. We're like friends in real life. We have each other's numbers. He communicates with me via Facebook chat.
I like it. I might start doing that.
The only other time that he calls me is when he's downstairs in Ann Arbor waiting to get let up into my apartment to watch Survivor or whatever else we might be doing. So like, if he's calling me, I said,
and that seems unlikely. That seems to be the case that was happening since you are no longer in Ann Arbor.
Correct. So I was like, Jonathan, either something's wrong or you're downstairs. I don't think you're downstairs in Times Square. So yeah, he was like, my audio sounds terrible. And in my head, I'm like, love Jonathan, love the podcast, happy to help. But like, I got a sub for a reason. Like, why am I dealing with this? Like, you and Brian communicate directly. And he was like, I was scared to tell Brian. So I very professionally conference called you guys together. And we determined, despite Scott's best scrubbing, that it was, you can't air it. And if we're saying you can't air it.
Yeah, we put out some doozies. Yeah, we put out some doozies over the years.
But thank you to Jonathan, who apparently had a lot to say about this episode. So probably definitely would have been better than what I'm about to do on this show.
How are you? Confirm or deny. I'm good. I'm still good. Still good. It's funny. I hung up with the podcast. I'm like, all right, I'm done. I gave my done for the season. I'm off to enjoy a nice little honeymoon. I'll check back in whatever the next season is. And now here I am again. So, you know, I'm not in Singapore yet. So I don't know what's going on.
All right. I have to say though, this intro, it'll be interesting to see how much you overlap and how much we don't in terms of what you and Jonathan both talked about. But all I have to say is this intro music playing with Pauly is like the absolute biggest example. I hope people have been tracking how much the music has just been not on point this season. At first I felt that way, because it like really was like kind of a joke to me. I'm sure people who are like music people were like, oh, you have to understand. And like, no, it just felt like the vibe was off. But then I realized the entire edit of this second part of the finale was just going to be a clown show and an absolute like laugh fest about how ridiculous everyone was. So then I thought maybe it fit.
Yeah, I, you know, it was fun. I was actually paid more attention to the music this time around because of how much you've called it out in recent weeks. And yeah, I thought this was weird. I thought the one time the music worked was at the very end, I thought. But other than that, I thought it was the music did not match the scene situation.
Where did you fall on Polly? Because that's what we opened. Like, and knowing what we know, who cares about going in order? What was even this episode? I mean, maybe you loved the finale and I'm spoiled because I haven't listened to you and John. Like, so who cares about going in order? I just, my top of, like, I watched this an hour ago and I haven't slept in 4 days. So here I am. What is happening that Polly is allowed? I mean, we have a lot of questions in the last few weeks about people being allowed to stay in reality shows. What is MTV doing allowing Polly to stay in this challenge? Granted, he makes it to the end and doesn't die. But at 5 points through the episode, I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, there were a couple key moments where I thought, all right, this is it. When he announces to the world, I can't see. Like, all right, someone's going to jump in and stop him here. Then when he says, if I start vomiting, it's really done for me. And then he announces, I'm vomiting. the one point we discussed this, this is one of their larger points I have with Jonathan. Like, they are pushing a point of, like, putting these people in severe, dangerous situations that could really come back to haunt MTV, like, destroy the show. Like, if they pushed him so far that he, like, God forbid something serious happened to him, like, I don't know how the show comes back from that, and like, I don't know why they would push him to that level.
Well, that's what's crazy to me, is, like, what is Paulie even adding to the challenge? You know, like, who cares? Like, we don't want to see him die, right? That's when things get unfun. When Caleb almost died on Survivor and my grandma called me a commercial and was like, I think he's dead. Like, that's when the show gets unfun.
Right.
So he's not adding anything. He's, like, within an inch of his life. But the thing that I read, the if I vomit, I'm done, as production had intervened and said, like, once you throw up, like, you're too severe to continue. Like, I might be reading too much into it, but I read that as, like, what had been issued as, like, the bar. And then Kara covering for him, where the producer immediately is like, is he throwing up? And Kara is like, no, he's making himself throw up. Like, that, again, then Zach says he's not. Like, that to me isn't exactly clear. But I thought the throw up thing was like, okay, that's her production setting the line. Don't know why, but okay, I'm not a medical professional. But then he crosses that line. Like, what is he doing? And I don't care that he can move around the gold boulders like you do it, like, you know, whatever, like that puzzle. Like, that doesn't impress me. He's like, oh, look, I almost died, but I can do this puzzle.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't add anything that he stayed. If anything, it took away, because I was like worried something was going to actually happen to him. And that it just, I mean, it's not like they needed him for further episodes. Like, this is the finale. Who cares? If he's done, he's done. He's out. People get met. Like, it's not like they've never had someone be medevac from a final before. This happens almost every season. So just pull him.
And then it's like, the fact that he did finish is like, okay, if he's not at the bottom of that lake or whatever body of water that is, then maybe he's like better than he's letting on. You know, like, that's the only thing, is like, I have to believe, like, you get to the snake moment and maybe we'll talk about it. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll just end the podcast in five more minutes, like, whatever. But when we get to the snake part, I'm like, okay, would I be like chill with these snakes? Absolutely not. But would I tell myself, like, all right, I'm not going to get bitten by a poisonous snake on MTV. Like, that's not going to happen here. Like, there's no way they have snakes in here that are going to kill me and they're going to let that happen. Like, you even see there's like a wrangler of some sort, like, in the scene. But if this is as we were made to think it was with Polly, then I can no longer feel like the contestants can feel sure they won't be allowed to die on the show. So I have to believe that, like, they were checking in with him. And it wasn't at the point where they were like, if we don't pull him, he will die. Like, the survivor bar, at least, for pulling someone.
Mm-hmm.
But damn, it had to be close.
I feel like they've pulled people at less. So, like, I mean, I know the rules of when people get kicked out for fighting are vague, when the medical stuff is vague. So that's, I mean, I could chalk up to that, but it just felt like we've reached that point a few different times. But,
well, at least last season with Georgia and Maddie, right, is like, was that last season, was that this season, like, come for me, Matt Lagori, whatever, the they said okay to leave. And that's where we get, I feel like, often more often than on Survivor, we'll have a discussion of like, did that person quit or were they medevaced from the challenge? Because like, it's rare that we've seen someone recently, like, I'm sure someone's going to come for me, whatever. At least with Georgia and Maddie, they were consenting exits. You know, they were like, yes, I'm being medevaced, whatever. This was like, maybe we found the line if someone truly is like insane enough to like say no and their body is saying, get me out of here. Then this is the line.
There was a song lyric quote I could have just said in there, but I'm proud of myself for not singing.
Well, we can't support that.
Yeah.
What else? What are the other highlights? Leroy? Like, should we rip our heart out?
Pour one out for Leroy. This is the Leroy sad story comes to another end. Guy's never gonna get one.
Did Leroy make the wrong call? Is somewhere Nani? Wow, I've been gone for a while. Nani is somewhere. Nani cackling to herself in satisfaction, at least 5%.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's like kind of the crossroads moment, I guess, right? When it was theoretically like Leroy is the swing vote, and he chose to go this way versus the other way. I guess that is the Leroy fork in the road moment. But then, if let's say everything plays out the same way, he's cruising to the final. I think based off this final, if they do the final the exact same way, Lee gets cut at this moment 100 times out of 100.
Yeah, like he needed to be on a 4-person team.
Yeah, if there was ever going to be someone to be cut at a puzzle and then swimming, like Leroy's going to be cut almost every single time.
It's so hard too, because I think, who can even say, but I believe I felt last week that like to just be cut on the puzzle, maybe I thought that was fine. Who cares? Now I feel like that would have been bad. I liked at least that there was sort of the puzzle, and then if you can at least finish it, maybe you can outswim somebody who is smarter than you, or not smarter, but like able to finish the puzzle. So I liked that it was a little combo. It just happened to be Leroy's absolute worst combo. And the people who finished the puzzle are the people who needed the extra time swimming, Ninja D, Kara, etc.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this was heartbreaking. And then his reaction was even brutal to see Leroy cry like that. Was so sad. It was so sad.
We got questions about this. Someone DM'd me on Twitter, and I had a question too. Like, and again, maybe we'll backtrack. Maybe we won't. I'm sorry to myself and to you, Brian, but Leroy, I guess this brings us back. Like, all we do is see how Leroy is carrying the US team. Leroy doesn't complain. Leroy does all of the work. Like, Zach's there, but he's bitching about it, whatever. I mean, look, I'd be complaining about it too, but like, Leroy is the heart, the backbone, whatever, of the US team. And then we see the people that were being justifiably complained about, Paulie, Kara, and Ninja, all advance on the US team. Do you think there's any sort of correlation between gassing yourself out, then having not slept, and then not being able to do that puzzle?
I don't think so, because I feel like by that point, like, you're good at that type of stuff, or you're not. I guess like the one person I feel like could be Ashley, just because she is usually pretty good at puzzles, so maybe there's a argument to be made there. But I mean, it's not like Leroy is like a puzzle master and now he's, you know, falling apart here. So I think if anyone has a gripe, it would be Ashley.
Yeah, I just Ashley was sort of the smoking gun of like, well, maybe there's something to the fact that there's some causation there. But even if there's not, it's so frustrating as a viewer. I don't know if you felt frustrated. I felt so frustrated because I would be so pissed. Like, worse than me not making it would be people that I put on my back to make it, making it instead of me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That would, I feel like, especially if US ended up winning the whole thing, I feel like that would have drove Leroy even more incensed. But I think the fact that they still lost probably made the sting a little bit easier, because I don't know what he would have done it differently in the last part. So I guess that probably helped a little bit, but yeah, that couldn't have felt good.
Well, they definitely advanced with their, well, let me, I'm taking us too far away, I guess. Should we backtrack? I feel bad. I feel like I took us where my week has been, off the rails.
I mean, we could jump to the fourth checkpoint, because I thought this was a big reason why I thought the final was so bad. And just because of how much of focal point puzzles were to this final, and how much no one was able to do puzzles, was such a just like a boring part of a final. I think we need to have this type of element in there, but the fact that no one can do it, that made his viewing experience even so much worse.
So that's interesting. Do you think as the challenge has gotten rid of the sort of layup-y characters and it's more like, you know, people drink less and lift weights more and we have more like serious athletes, do you think like people's puzzle ability has gone down? Like, is like we need to, as the athleticism, and I'm not saying anything about whether people who are athletic can or can't do puzzles. I'm just saying like the field has gotten so much stronger, but it seems like the puzzle ability has gotten weaker.
Yeah, but I think the puzzles were probably seemingly really hard. Like some of those ones probably would have taken them a while, especially factoring how much, you know, you're running so much, your brain is probably putting all that in. So for me, I'd rather the puzzles be so easy that you could definitely do them. And it's just a matter of if you do them in like a minute or 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever, or do them where they're part of the running like they did last time, where it was like simple math equations, but you have to just do them like as you're running. So you could do it. It just, it's part of it and it just adds another layer, but it's not like people are just going to time out after a 30-minute puzzle, which just does nothing.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think the puzzles have gotten harder. I don't think you're saying that, but like I feel like the puzzles on the challenge have been some of the hardest puzzles I've seen on any show, which maybe means they need to come down, which is exactly what you're saying. What I liked in this part of it, because I Mitch-watched the whole episode basically, like I was like, okay, I absolutely hate this and everything about it, but maybe I'll just choose to like it. And I loved that the UK team can't finish that puzzle and the US team is still nowhere in sight. And like, shout out to the editors who had to even make it look close, which it was never. I mean, it must have been hours. Like, it was ridiculous. Yeah. So I at least enjoyed that. So in a normal season, I agree with you. It's not fun to watch them not be able to do it. And I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. In this particular episode, I think it was perfect that the UK team couldn't even finish it, times out, and still has a ridiculous lead. And then Paulie, who's like within an inch of his life, somehow cracks the code.
That the fact that Paulie was able to solve it was kind of funny and at least gave some credence to like why they shouldn't have just ditched him and why you always try to like help a team member along, because you never know who might be able to help you in a given moment. But yeah, I mean, didn't help that much overall, obviously.
But that's the thing, without Paul, if Paulie had quit immediately or gotten medevaced immediately, then they have like I feel like they gave up more time by Paulie stopping and having health issues than they gained by Paulie solving the puzzle. Because the most time they could have made up is like, what was it, probably 30 minutes before the other team timed out. So Paulie took more than five, let's say. So like at absolute most, which I feel like was probably smaller than this, but absolute best case scenario, he made up 25 minutes. And I feel like he lost them way more than that.
Yeah, but also you're not going to be medevaced like the second you're like falling apart. So there's a certain level of like at what point. So yeah, but then also he helped them probably so much the first couple things. So if he doesn't do that, does that add more time to it? So there's a lot of like factors there.
Where I think he should have called it is when he's on the ground and Ashley and Cam are probably rudely yelling at him and Carr is like, I'm not gonna leave him. I think that's where you lose me, because that's the I can't see, he can't get up, he's standing up, he's falling. Like that's to me where I view the cutoff point of like, if he had gotten axed there, he would have added, he added less than he subtracted at that point.
And then what did you make of the 10-minute penalty that US got for apparently breaking multiple rules that TJ laid out, but still just the 10-minute penalty?
Yeah, I mean, bullshit. It should have been absolutely been 20 minutes, but like, we have a show to do. You know, like, that doesn't bother me. Like, it would be absurd to die. They're probably like hours behind. I would love to know the actual time difference. Like, the UK team's like hosting a full like event on their boat waiting for them.
Right.
So, you know, and if it's only going to end up being a 5 minute difference, the penalty is negligible. The 5 minutes being like to start the next stage. So like, who cares? Like, I don't need to like have them docked a comic 20 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I think the who cares was unfortunately what summed it up as, like, who cares that it was only 10 minutes? Who cares that the penalty is enforced differently? And who cares of all these different things that went onto it, because the UK won by so much and then it was only a 5 minute bonus anyway. So who cares?
Again, with the jumping ahead, I'm just so excited for this season to be over, I guess. But what, like, the 5 minutes adding insult to Leroy's injury, right? Like, why kill yourself when you're like, take the whole, just quit the first round, you know, like, right. Just say like, forget it. Take me to the boat, T, chop on his jet ski and head on into Snakes, like Snakes Inn or whatever, because you're only going to start with 5 minutes behind anyway.
Yeah. That's the price we pay for wanting like a winner at the end, is you get these like long things, but then it's like not balanced properly because you could win by 4 hours and then you get a 5 minute boost at the end.
But is that, do you think that was planned? And I always tend to think things are planned, but like, do you think that was planned or was that like an on the spot decision? Because like the way it was such a short final leg that there's no way you could make up even a half hour, you know, like I feel like in an ideal world, the teams would have been sort of like 10 minutes apart, you know, and then you could give that whole thing like the 5 minutes, I feel like has to be because there's no show otherwise.
Yeah, I think it was always going to be 5 minutes. Yeah, I don't think they made the penalty less because they dominated by so like, I think it was just, I mean, I'm sure that's what they decided because they just wanted, no matter who finished second, to have a chance to come back.
Yeah, to me, if you're going to do the overnight leg and make the final winner work without calculating the time, although I think I would rather have them have calculated the time than just make it dissolve to 5 minutes, because so much more of the final happened in the first leg than the second. So to like dumb that down to being so unimportant, to only being, you know, 5 minutes of the final is very frustrating. Mm-hmm. I would rather like have only a smaller part the first day, then go to sleep, and then have that time. You know, if they had reversed this, right, and it was the chain, I know they couldn't because it was the four people, but whatever. Even if they had people eliminated, the four people run, and then the longer portion, at least then the majority of the time difference, like, factors in. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. You're going to dissolve, like, what was it, 16 miles? Down into a 5 minute penalty, and then they're only gonna have to run 6 miles the next day.
Yeah, no, none of it really flowed or made sense decision making wise. So that's why this, because I was so into it. I thought the first part of the final was such a pure challenge final. It was grueling. It was all these different layers, and then just the second part was just a mess, especially with the overnight portion. Which I think if they're gonna do something like that, they don't need to show like quickly yada yada that, because that does absolutely nothing for the show.
Yeah, we can get right to that. I feel like we should talk about TJ on the jet ski though.
Yeah, classic. Another TJ coming in strong. You got the ATV entrance, the jet ski entrance, then on a motorboat entrance at the end. Yeah, he TJ was looking good.
I the jet ski is my favorite TJ, TJ jet ski to jet ski, because it's a props throwback. Like, I always, my favorite part of any Survivor season is the transition from Jeff with the urn from Tribal into the studio. And like, yeah. When I was younger, it used to be like he would have the urn on like a jet ski from like the Outback, and they'd like show him going to New York, whatever. Like, I love that as a kid. I love that now. Gave me very strong vibes of TJ rolling up on a jet ski unnecessarily. Yeah. But that was really the only highlight of this transition. Because then we go to, yes, the snakes. I'm tired of these snakes in my bunk bed or whatever.
Yeah,
there's something there. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, one person can sleep at a time. Everyone else has to like just hang out. Basically, there's no like time. There's seemingly no time penalties. There's nothing other than just getting them even more tired. I don't know. They could have just cut that and make this a 1 day final.
Having been no stranger to sleep deprivation in my life, it's brutal. It is brutal to stand on stairs overnight after having competed the way they did and keep going. And just like you're saying, I think it makes it so much harder for them, but there's like no payoff. And I've never cared about this, like them standing on the subway platform, whatever, like in all the ways they've done this, you know, your partner can sit in the circle by the fire and you can sleep and whatever it is. Like, we can't really appreciate how tired they are, you know, like we can't appreciate how exhausting it is. So like, why really put them through it? I don't want to watch people like barely survive.
Yeah, I'd honestly rather them have a full night's sleep, gear up, and just be at like their full strength for the second part, especially if you're cutting people and restarting it. I'd rather just have them, all right, you survived day one, you can reset, and now go do day two. I'd rather them do that.
Or at least, like, let's see some strategic decision making happening, or let's, like, let the UK team be rewarded by being able to sleep and just the US team have to deal with this shit because they're only going to get 5 minute penalties. You know, like, at least let that matter. Or, like, you know, like, we didn't see any of the conversation about who could sleep more, who could sleep less. That didn't factor in at all. So, like, I don't care. Exactly what you're saying. Like, I'm not going to watch a football game because, like, people are at their worst. Like, you want to see athletes at their best. Like, it's not more exciting because, mm-hmm. like, oh, but don't worry, they starved and haven't slept in like six days.
And they're snakes. Ooh.
CJ, I'm talking like it's his son. CT, his reaction to seeing the snake beds were so funny, though. Like, I can't even describe it, but I was just like, ugh. Honestly, this episode is really just like, I've been so wrong about CT and I feel bad about like everything I've said.
Hey, he got, the purest of all. The purest of wanting what to do with the money answer I think we've ever had in the show, right? Wanting to bring home ice cream for his son. How can you get better than that?
So much ice cream money.
So much. He can buy a whole truck.
But also just the way that CT describes his own game evolution, like, during the final, to me, is, like, the first time I've understood CT in this game, you know? And I wish they had given him that explanation earlier. How he says, like, I got shunned by the U.S. team. And that didn't come up enough, you know, like CT, like, feeling burned about that.
Yep.
And then he was forced to play this quote unquote pops role. And then they show us clips of him, like, coordinating the Brits and, like, being sort of the older odd man out and coming into that role. And like that, I'm like, oh, in that like three like second clip he gives, I understand more about why CT had the role in the game that he did than I did the entire season.
Yeah. And he played it up perfectly and he did his part in the final just as CT could. It was great.
This is just Pauly pissing me off. Pauly, of all the people who should have been humbled by their performance, like, the fact that Pauly explains what happened to him as, well, I had to carry all the weight because of the girls on my team. I'm like, bruh, what show are you watching? Like, granted, Kara and Ninja also suck, but Pauly seemed to give out and Leroy and Zach had to take up your slack from you giving out. So, like, let's not just blame the ladies on your team when you are the holding up worse than them. Yeah. Certainly worse than Cam.
But I mean, there was no chance Pauly was going to take full ownership. That's not Pauly. So, of course, I mean, you could have predicted what Pauly's response would have been to him doing as poorly as he was. This would be the exact response I was looking for.
Fair enough. If I were to tell you that there was going to be a puzzle and then a swim and four people are going to be eliminated, who, like, were these the people, Cam, Leroy, Tori, and Ashley, that you would have expected?
No, I mean, I was expecting Pauly to go. I was expecting Kara to go. I was very surprised that Ninja was the first one to finish. I thought there was actually a few very surprising results in all of this.
Yeah, Rogan, D, and Kara, who literally had a mental breakdown at the idea of doing math, solve this puzzle no problem and are like within the first five done.
Yeah, if anything, I was considering that they had all this time, I would have thought it's like Jordan. I'm surprised even Jordan took as long as he did. Tori being cut was very surprising. Yeah, the whole order of it was surprising from start to finish.
I think we got a question on Twitter or Facebook, but I don't know because I don't know about, like, was it surprising or sad to see Jordan like leave her on the beat or some? I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. Oh, you know what? It was a Jordan tweet, I think, but which I'll read later. But Jordan, do you think Jordan could have helped Tori or was that against the rules?
Yeah, I feel like it was probably against the rules. I feel like he probably would have tried to do that. And then they probably told him you just have to go. And that's why I was probably just going as slowly as possible. But I mean, at that point, you just, even if you can't help her, you're probably better off just going on your own. And that way, like, you can do as much as you can in your portion of the final to help your team win.
Yeah, I was like not clear about the timing of this. Like, did this did not factor into the timing, right? This was just like who would advance. So it didn't even matter how fast they did it. So, like, to me, I agree with you. It had to be that Jordan couldn't help her because he has absolutely nothing to lose by helping her. Because at that point, only one of them is going to advance. And like the best case scenario is they both can get in the water earlier and outswim someone who's already completed the puzzle, like D or Rogan. But like there was nobody else yet to come that he had to beat, you know? So like, yep. And Jordan's a smart guy, so he must have not been able to do that. Although for TV purposes, it would have been much better to watch Jordan finish, help Tori with her puzzle, and then them swim together and sort of like decide, like a little Jack and Rose action of like, right. Who's going to go on and who is going to die.
Yeah. No, that would have been cool to say. It would have been very interesting. That would have been a lot of back and forth between them.
What do we say about Cam and Leroy? Like, what do we say about Tori? Like, rip my heart out, MTV.
Yeah, I mean, to see Leroy cry, like, I think just the thing that people just resonate with Leroy so much is you see so many people come on these shows and complain a lot, or they quit, or they do whatever, and you see Leroy, he just wants it so bad, and you can just tell, like, you just feel how much he wants, like, that's all you could, it's just all about it. Like, he just wants it, and he just can't get it. And it's just so frustrating because of all the people that win, you just want him to win one. He just can't get it. It's just brutal.
Yeah. And it's like, Leroy really gave up everything. And I don't even mean, like, he gave it as all he did, but he also, like, he sacrificed his relationship with Nani, but he, like, sort of turned on Nani. He lost his main alliances. He, like, didn't stay with Zach. Like, he was willing to literally, like, lie, steal, cheat, whatever it is, like, he did everything he could. He, like, got in bed with Polly and Kara.
Whoa.
And, yeah, he did. That's a wild time, I hear. But, and it still didn't pay off for him. You know, we usually see him riding Banana's coattails or riding Wes's coattails. Banana's isn't there.
Doing a lot of stuff in bed.
Sorry, I thought we lost the... That's usually what you would do if we, like, dropped out. And I was like, we're not re-recording this. I'm never doing another podcast at this.
Leroy.
But he did everything. And at this point, it's like, can Leroy win? If Leroy couldn't win this season, like...
No.
You're saying no, he can't win.
Obviously, he can, but no, he can't.
Is it obvious that he can? 11 no. seasons later?
I mean, it's only obvious to the fact that anything can happen, but no, he can't win.
Why?
Because some people just aren't meant for things, and he is just not, he's not meant so with brutal. The challenge. That's just it.
So brutal. I don't think Leroy quits until he wins, and I think he's going to win one.
I think there's a better chance he hosts the show than wins.
Oh, that's so mean, because that's never happened. Woo, that is so bad, Brian. You really believe that he can't win?
No, at this point, he'll stop doing this in a few years, and that'll be it. What's he going to do? Unless they make the show like Leroy to win. Like, I don't know. Like, what is he going to do? Like, I don't know how he wins. Like, he's
going to do like
every iteration of shows between good partners, bad partners, teams, individual. He's sometimes been lucky. He had a partner come back from being like eliminated to come back and be his partner. He's a big team challenge where they win literally every week, and he still can't win. Can't do it.
Are you willing to place a long-term bet?
Sure.
That sounded like you hesitated.
Well, because I'm very concerned what the stakes you're going to...
I don't know. If Leroy wins a challenge before the challenge is canceled... And not that he retires, like, because I don't care if Leroy says he retires. Like, the challenge gets canceled, and then either the challenge gets canceled or Leroy wins, and then we shake it out.
Mm-hmm.
Shave your head.
And then what? But like, at what point do I win the bet? So the show gets canceled.
You win
That's
if
how I win
no,
the
no,
bet.
If, yes.
That's. And what happens if I win? You shave your head.
Well, that's a little bit of different stakes. That's like me saying Emily has to shave her head if you lose. That's different.
I just feel like there's a lot easier way for me to lose this than eventually win.
So you think that Leroy will win a challenge before?
Yeah, we
it gets,
set it at like 3 years, because I feel like the show might go on for 20. And what?
Well, that's
be like,
what I'm suggesting. Well, we're talking about Leroy at his age he is now. He can't go back and become 20.
My kid's high school graduation. I'll be like, oh, did you hear Leroy won the challenge? I'm like, oh, crap. I'm going to go shave my head from a bet I made 20 years ago.
Okay. LOL that you think there's a world that Leroy wins 20 years from now in the challenge and you haven't watched that episode. Like, you're going to hear about it on the bleachers. Please get real.
Oh, man. Fine. I'll shave my head.
All right. You will shave your head if Leroy wins a challenge.
Fine.
At least you'll be happy for Leroy, you know?
Yeah, I will be.
Have you ever shaved your... You don't have, like, long hair.
I don't.
So it's like, don't you shave your head every week?
No, I do not shave my head every week. Is this like your thing with heights and stuff and weights? Like, you don't know how guys cut their hair?
Well, your hair is not, like, long, but I'm talking about Mr. Clean, like, razor to the head. Yeah. Like, Murray and Clueless. You think I do that
every week, and then every week my hair just grows back?
No. I want to be clear that we're not talking about, like, buzzing it to, like, one or whatever, like, guys talk about with their settings and the clippers.
I feel like I need to delete this podcast from the face of the earth if something horrible happens, so, sure.
What's something horrible? So if Leroy wins, it would be so horrible.
Yeah, now I have to be forced to root against him. This is not, like, what I wanted in my life, to now root against Leroy.
All right, let's move on.
Okay, thank God.
But it's locked in.
It's locked.
All right. What else we got? You already hosted this podcast once. What else should we talk about?
I don't know. I certainly didn't get the shaving my head in the last portion of it. Maybe I'll just send him my audio again for that one. We'll just double over this. That'll be it.
That's I feel like enough is on my side to make it out.
What else? I mean, we 5 minute head start. We talked about being crap. Kara thought she solved the puzzle, which is very funny because she probably was not anywhere close.
I like the summary. Keep going.
I like the little yearbook end of school retrospective for each of the winners. While seemingly it was not over yet, I thought there was a chance that someone's going to fall out of their boat. And then all of a sudden we hear Rogan talking about, you know, feel great to finally win the challenge. I was like, oh, I guess they actually won.
I completely agree. I think it was insane that that's how we found out the Brits won. The first person to arrive is like, I was the first Brit to be eliminated and the first Brit to win. And I was like, I'm sorry. How much time is left in this episode?
Like, someone could just fall out of the boat, especially because the scene right before that was Kara being like, all we need is someone to fall out of the boat. And I was like, that seems possible.
I liked CT's reaction. Just like, again, like, show me the mother effing money. And I just like CT was crying. Like, again, like, if CT wasn't in this part of the season as much as I thought he shouldn't have been there, I would have had almost no joy in this moment. So at least there's that. Oh, also, someone had a great tweet. Oh, I guess I'll wait. Go ahead.
I would say, I mean, it took till like the very last second for a fun moment, but Kara crying in the corner while, RESPCT was playing in the background was, I mean, that's one of the all-time challenge moments, I feel like.
It was so brutal. Like, they should have had the yacht pull away. Like, they should not. I get the point that it would have been like, maybe there'd be two people from the U.S. in the kayak. Like, if it came really close, like, the kayak, people could have arrived. It didn't have to just be the whole British team on the kayak at once. But, like, it was so lame, like hilarious too, like another hilarious moment, but also lame to have like the Brits celebrating and then like everyone like weeping. I guess really just Kara weeping in the corner. Yeah. I don't even want to go on the boat.
Oh, Kara.
I mean, look, I don't care how much money I lost. There's a freaking yacht. I'm getting on it.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Let's be real. How many yachts you go on in Montana, Kara? I don't go on a lot of yachts.
No, definitely not in Montana.
Question. There's a lot of talk about for the queen, yada, yada. There's a podcast that I love called Who Weekly. That's great about pop culture for anyone who's interested. And they play a game of like, does a them know a who? And a them is like Meryl Streep. Who cares? A them is like Meryl Streep and a who is like Bebe Rexha. Like, who is that? Whatever. Does Meryl Streep know Bebe Rexha? Mm-hmm. And they talk about it. Mm-hmm. Does the queen know what the challenge is?
Definitely not. And didn't, well, I feel like right before the season, you said they weren't even advertising this in London, right? So do you think?
Not where I was in London.
Like, does anyone even care?
Fair enough. Rogan, though, I hear often that people from the UK don't actually care about the monarchy and that like the US makes a much bigger deal of it. Tell that to Rogan.
Quick side note,
as opposed to this whole podcast.
Yeah, I was bouncing around like other like challenge Instagrams. The fact that Kyle has like 4 million Instagram followers, I was flabbergasted.
I think he was on Jordy Shore Instagram,
but still, that's crazy. I think he's the most followed like challenge person.
The UK loves their their reality stars. Like, are you sure it's more than people have been on Love Island? I guess George and Theo weren't really like big Love Islanders, but like
not people 4 million, who are 1.3 million. I don't know why I said four, but he was over a million, which I still thought was kind of wild.
The people who like go on Love Island in the UK like become very, very famous in the UK.
What's here we go. Bears. How much is he at? He's at 1.7. Jesus Christ.
And Georgia has 900,000. Not too
just,
shabby.
That's just wild. Like even like Bananas is 644,000. Like that's wild. It's just insane. I was just stunned when I saw that.
I'm telling you, the UK really respects their reality stars. The like Georgia Steele, who's on X on the Peak right now, who is on Love Island, has 1.5 million followers. Like wow. they make like it's a very legitimate way to become a celebrity in the UK.
So I guess that's like, I mean, like Bachelors and stuff have that number. So I guess that's their equivalent.
It's so much better than The Bachelor. It's like not even funny.
Right.
How dare you?
How dare I?
Are you like, we got no resolution on Dee and Rogan. Like we see their arms around each other. We haven't really like seen them kiss in a while. Like, are they still a couple? We only really get Rogan talking about like it being a win for him and Joss.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably more of a reunion thing, right? I feel like they were kind of like sort of still together-ish when the show ended. And then that's a reunion thing to see like what happens when they see everything back.
I mean, I've watched television before, Brian. I know, but I'm just saying like, I feel like usually MTV would have no problem like making a fair enough, like sort of D should look dumb because it was dumb, but she got lied to. Who cares? Whatever. Like, I don't know. I feel like shout out to MTV for not like totally throwing her under the bus and just showing them like, you know, saying they love each other at the end of this.
Yeah. Yeah. At least, yeah, that was, well, hopefully she wasn't saying it. So that would be good for her. But yeah.
Speaking of the reunion, you will not be gracing us with your presence ever again. No,
ever again.
In 2020. Maybe ever.
Maybe ever. This could be it. This could be my last podcast ever. And what a note to go out on.
Live every podcast like it's your last.
I certainly won't be getting roped into any one of the other RHAP podcasts.
That's not true. You're in the fishbowl. Like I've been working right. hard.
Yeah, I made my second post in the off-topic group.
Yeah, I didn't want to tell you that, but that's like not a great look. I wouldn't have approved that as your agent. Like really? Looking it wasn't for travel good. Recommendations.
I wanted to be like interactive with people. It wasn't great.
It was very like, do me a favor and also like humble brag about my vacation and also like, you know, what have you done to like deserve these people like helping you out?
I provide them with hours of mediocre entertainment.
Most of those people you do not provide with anything.
Some of them.
Let's see. How did you get good advice? So for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, Brian and his effort to achieve his New Year's resolution have posted in the RHAP patron off-topic group looking for recommendations for his upcoming honeymoon that will actually take him off the podcast for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. And I got Did some, I got write, some feedback. Like,
here's
yeah,
a tip.
Most of it, not, I asked for unique stuff and people were posting like the equivalent of, not to throw shade, but like, oh, I'm going to New York. Where should I go? They're like, oh, I hear Times Square or, you know, Statue of Liberty is pretty cool. Like, yeah, I got that. But thanks.
Are you going to Kangaroo Island?
I'm doing some type of like safari-ish type thing in Australia.
No, like my brother and sister-in-law stayed in like a place where like nobody's around for like hundreds of miles, but like kangaroos and then right. they like couldn't go to the grocery store. We could talk offline.
But all right, so Al, you've known me for like what, 5 years now. You think that I would choose to go to a place where I am isolated with from people, completely only surrounded by animals? You think that's something I would want to do?
I mean, it's a very nice place. It's like it wasn't like a tent. It was like it was a luxurious villa. Sorry for thinking you'd want to be with your wife, Brian, on your honeymoon.
Yeah. And we get beat up by a kangaroo.
All right. Well, listen. So I won't give you any recs, and may God have mercy on your soul. Let's move on.
Oh, man. Anything else for this season?
I want to plug a little bit about the reunion. I was pretty excited. I got excited probably too soon. Like, I always get excited about the reunion stuff. I'm sure none of it will air until the second airing of the second part.
Right.
But when Cara's like, we're not a cult, we're a family. Like, did anyone get Manson vibes? Just me.
This is going to be another fun reunion where Bananas talks a lot for someone who wasn't on the season and talks about things that he has no involvement in. So I look forward to that. That's always fun. Especially
if Bananas, If Bananas wasn't Bananas, he would not be invited onto this reunion show.
Definitely not. He was invited, wasn't last year, he was out like second, and he was still at, he was like first chair at the reunion.
Even Laurel, like, has more of a claim to being on this season, because at least she did something. It was stupid, but she did it.
Yeah, at least she started the voting against your own team thing.
She ruined the season, but she, like, had an impact.
Yeah.
I heard Jonathan had a big rant about the problems with this season.
Yeah, I don't fully remember. I feel like it was I don't know.
It's fine.
I don't remember. I think, we were both super pissed that this probably marks the end of team challenges for sure, which is sad.
Anything else that came out of the unaired episode? Should we do an oral history of the Jonathan Foreman Brian Cohen episode?
No, it was weird reading the tweets. I didn't like doing it, so I'm glad that you're here to do it.
All right, Chris tweeted at us, when is part two of the Challenger Hap-Up coming out? Well, Chris, by the time you're listening to this, you'll know the answer. am I reading the tweets? I don't have I thought you said you had the tweets.
I mean, I do. I can still read them. I thought you had them too, but I can read them.
God damn it, Brian. I said, I have nothing. And then you were like, no, I got it. I got it.
But then you said like, oh, that's a tweet. I'll read it later.
Oh, I have some of my own tweets that I screen grabbed. Oh, sorry.
I thought
that's
you meant
confusing.
That also.
Okay. No, I'm always working on the outside. I mean, when were we supposed to record this? Like the 12th? Where are the tweets from? I can pull it up.
I got it. Because one of the tweets, the first tweet is literally the one you like said, I'll read later, about Jordan saying that she had to leave Tori.
All right. Why don't we just do it?
I got it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was trying to help you because you said I hated reading the tweets.
No. Now I'm getting more practice. Jordan, my heart broke in half when I had to leave Tori on that beach.
It sounded like you talking to Jordan.
that was the tweet. A couple from Ninja. Proud to compete against you in the final leg, Miss D. Nguyen. We can hug when this is all over, but for now, devil emoji. There you go. Ninja again. For all the haters who said I can't swim a straight line. Actually, yeah, you're right. But when you get exposed to your own weaknesses, work every damn day to prevent yourself from drowning. Ah, it feels good to be the first one to swim to the Team US boat. Swimming emoji, smile emoji.
I can't react to Ninja. I'm like really over Ninja. I'm sorry.
I wish there was an alternate season where Laurel beats Ninja, and I want to watch that season.
Here for it.
Paulie, thanks to everyone who has supported the journey so far. If I thought the way last season ended for me was scary, having my kidneys start shutting down due to heat stroke was even scarier. Thank God in life or death situations, the mind is powerful enough to save you. I'll be back.
No, I'm sorry. In life or death situations, the Challenge Medical should be pulling you. Like, I don't know that I'm believing this, like, his kidney was shutting down. Although if he was yellow, that tracks. If you are someone who has, what did he say? Read the beginning of that tweet again.
Thanks to everyone who has supported the journey so far.
Okay. If you're a person who has supported Polly's journey so far, please hit me up. I'd love to chat.
Another one for Jordan. Huge congrats to Cam and Leroy. Y'all were literal engines for the US. Hashtag F that puzzle.
Ding.
Ding. And an update from my pseudo son, Cohen. Hunter says, if you feel like you sleep too much, just have a baby, then you'll never sleep. LOL.
Or just do a podcast with me and you'll never be able to sleep because we'll be doing it until the wee hours.
I still can't believe that that's his kid name. I don't think I'm going to get over that for the rest of my life.
Brian, I was really close to interrupting your honeymoon over it. And the fact that I didn't, I think like I should be invited to your honeymoon for having to exercise such restraint.
That's something I think if anyone else ever named, if a challenge person names their kid after like any of us, I think you should be allowed to be interrupted no matter what you're doing in your life.
I'll remember that.
Yeah. I feel like I'm roping myself into a lot of different situations that I don't want to be. I need to stop talking.
Any other tweets you have?
No, not really.
All right. Well, you forgot to thank the great Megan Elizabeth who supplied you with these tweets.
Yes. Thanks, Megan. The great. I called her the wrong title. So now I get a chance to correct her, although I probably didn't have to say that.
What'd you call her?
I called her the chief party officer.
But that's a fun title.
Social media correspondent.
No, she's the digital communications manager.
I called her the wrong title again.
Oh my God. Don't you know the like shit we've made up?
should we, it's the end of the year. Should we offer promotions? Should she be senior manager now?
the digital communications senior manager. You know what bothers me is that I'm the one who's going to have to remember this because you're never going to have to say it again.
Well,
the senior digital communications manager or the digital communications senior manager?
We can go straight to
the assistant to the digital.
We can go straight from manager to director if we want. Be like extra generous.
All right. As I've said before, I feel like on the podcast, you know, Megan, evaluate yourself, determine if you want a promotion, and let us know what the title is.
With Kyle, he started too high. How do you go above officer? You're already there. Chief party officer. I don't know. Not going to be CEO. How can you be better than CPO?
Look, it's a wonder that anyone does anything for us anyway. We don't need to be making their lives harder or worse.
No, I'm saying he's got a great title. He starts as officer. What a
We're lucky that he starts as anything.
Good for Kyle.
All right. I have a couple more tweets that are probably old, but they're from they're from last Friday, but they kill me. So D tweeted, can y'all stop messaging me and telling me how trash Rogan is? This is my literal face expression when I watch clips of myself being played, like sad eye roll emoji, inexplicable kiss, but no heart emoji. So I guess she thinks it's like a pout. And then she put a picture of herself in the challenge. And then somebody wrote, this leg of the final should be a piece of cake for D. She has been sleeping with a snake all season. And D retweeted and said, that was probably why I felt so comfortable in that bed. Felt familiar. Woo!
There you go.
How's that for a reunion tweezer? Teaser. I was doing so well. No, I wasn't. Okay. Let's see. This is just a tweet from my friend that I thought was funny. He said, do you realize how hard it is to be the Tooth Fairy as a millennial parent? Hashtag no cash. I thought that was good. Okay. The other thing I pulled is I took a picture of TJ in his farmer's tan as he was jet skiing away from the US team. Did you see that?
No, I didn't notice his tan.
All right. I went back and sent it to you. I'll send it to you now. That's coming through. And then, right before we got on the podcast, Frank Sweeney, if you remember Frank, said, I want to be on hashtag Survivor. Help, Twitter.
Well, so I might not be on anymore. So
I tweeted at Max Dawson because Frank is like Max Dawson's trainer. So I thought, you know, Frank, you already have that inside track. Although, I don't know, Max isn't making any friends with his tweets about CBS, which is fine. And Frank said, hi, Max. So more on that. Maybe Frank for Survivor.
Yeah, we need to get people keep coming on the challenge show. I feel like we need to start getting the other way. I want to start watching some of my guys on other shows.
That's fine. I don't need bananas on Survivor.
I didn't mean him. I meant anyone.
That's who it's going to be. If it's going to be someone, let's be real.
Yeah, probably.
Quick X on the Peak update. Great show. That's all I got to say. Check it out. Laurel coming in episode one. Just Nicole and Laurel and make you sick. It'll make you happy. Love it. That's it. Marlon also. It's great to see Marlon again.
Yeah, I miss him. Portland. Maybe I might do a rewatch. That was just a great season.
Maybe he'll be back. Maybe this is Marlon's like coming. Because Marlon would be great on the challenge because he's messy. And he's super athletic. So it's like a win-win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little Portland connection with Jordan. It'd be fun.
Speaking of the chief party officer, you want to get to that?
Let's do it. I got one of talking about past experience. Three, knowing a song that was played. One animation with the relic on fire. One cute Cam and Leroy couple moment. Two, saying something nice about someone. One producer question, is he vomiting? One, sad because season is going to shit. All the people got purged. Some of these are so weird.
Is Kyle now explaining why he put it?
Yeah, he puts in, that's good, in that's the parentheses, good. Yeah. And then Rogan mentioned Vendetta. So 13 total.
All right, a couple 5-star reviews. I might have said these before, but Mark Lanta, See Joy Play, and Plucking Pendants. Thank you guys so much. If you want to close the season, the low season out on a high, you can do so at rabbitsawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Brian, do you want to quickly assemble a challenge reunion drinking game? And now I just pulled up three things out of my behind. I didn't plan this. Do you want to take a second and do the same?
All right. Yeah. You start with the first one and I'll do one. As you say it, I'll think of one.
All right. Someone mentions Ashley stealing the money. Still putting that out there.
That's a classic. Talk about Paulie gassing out, or the phrase gassing out.
Okay. I will say Paulie and Kara make excuses for themselves or each other.
Bananas talks about an incident he was out of the game when it happened.
Oh, that's such a good one. And then I'm going to do my favorite reunion one. Every time you see a WTF outfit.
And last one, someone from not this season is mentioned.
That was good. Yeah. Did you do this with Jofo?
No, I swear. I did not. Top of my head. So I can be a quick thinker sometimes.
You're a very quick thinker. Good job. I've never called you dumb.
I was just, I don't know, wanted to give myself a self-compliment. Those are pretty good. I like them.
All right. That's it. Finishing around the same time you finished with Jonathan Foreman, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just dub my audio away with yours. Hopefully it matches up perfectly. Subscribe. Rob's website.
Does it get end the show or you want to keep going? Do more? I can thank you
subscribe.
Again.
Subscribe. Robswebsite.com/challenge. iTunes. You can follow me at Cohen with a C, Brian _. They can follow you.
At Lash Tweets. But also, seriously, again, Brian, you're going to be gone for the next 2 weeks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You are the only reason I've been allowed to continue to do this podcast, because a normal person would probably have said it's getting too difficult to know 5 seconds before we have to record. So I really appreciate the flexibility. And
no
unclear if I'll be back next week or in 2 weeks with one episode for both reunion shows. But you've been flexible as of now, everyone. You could continue to be flexible for 2 more weeks. I really appreciate it.
There you go. See you either next week or 2 weeks for the reunion. Until then, have a good one.
G'day.